From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you along this morning. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you, Greg Bach.
You're welcome.
You want to call and or text. You can also download the Civic Media app, and that allows you to text and call directly from that. And if you're watching the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, you can also leave a comment on the stream. Going to be a busy show today.
Very busy.
Mama Kristen Bry joining us at 10:33.
Oh, Mother Glory.
We're going to do the good, the bad, and do babies need this really? So that's coming up at 10:33. 11:06, I'm really excited to talk to our guest who's going to be joining us in studio. Lindsay Bloomer is the CEO of an industrial training program called WRTP. And we're going to talk about apprenticeships in Wisconsin and how apprenticeships are increasing, which is a great thing. And I'm really excited to talk to her. I've done a number of stories about the trades over the years, and I have a big heavy machinery, Jones.
I don't know what that means.
I want to drive heavy machinery.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I was like, well, as a person who was an apprentice, I hope you get that wish one day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So stay tuned for that. Lindsay Bloomer joining us at 11:06. We are going to start off, though. This kind of broke during our show yesterday when Hunter Biden agreed to come before the House committee, but he wants to do it in public. And James Comer now said today that he and Jim Jordan spoke with new House Speaker Mike Johnson last night about what they will do if Hunter Biden won't appear in a closed-door deposition on December 13th. So they want this hearing held behind closed doors. And Hunter Biden says, well, I'll happily come before the committee. I just want to do it publicly. Yeah. Why would you not want it public?
Because he's probably going to say things that they don't like.
Well, it almost leads one to believe that they want to have this testimony behind closed doors, in the dark, so they can cherry pick things and then throw them out to the press, leak them out to the press little by little. I mean, and I also think it's like a pre-screening.
Well, that's the thing is their attempts to do, like, to try to impeach Joe Biden, try to overturn elections, they all fall on their faces. So this is their way they can control the narrative. And if they can't control the narrative, then they're not in control, and they'll be shown to be the fools that they are.
Well, James Comer hasn't come off looking particularly good during any of these, and a lot of the public hearings that they have held has led to a fair amount of mockery about his handling of these hearings.
Let Hunter talk. Release the Hunter.
Let him testify.
Yeah.
James Comer, again, who leads the Oversight Committee, accusing Hunter Biden of trying to play by his own rules instead of following the rules required of everyone else. And I just would like to stop there quickly and point out Jim Jordan was subpoenaed, who still has never responded to that subpoena.
There are a bunch of people who have been playing by their own rules, if I'm not mistaken. And it sounds like what Hunter Biden wants to do is make it open, accessible, so the people know what's going on. It sounds like he's really saying, yeah, I'll talk, but everyone has to hear this, as they should.
Jamie Raskin is the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee. He said, quote, after wailing and moaning for 10 months about Hunter Biden and alluding to some vast, unproven family conspiracy, after sending Hunter Biden a subpoena to appear and testify, Chairman Comer and Oversight Republicans now reject his offer to appear before the full committee in the eyes of the world to answer any questions that they pose. What an epic humiliation for our colleagues and a frank confession. They're just not interested in the facts, and they have no confidence in their own case or the ability of their own members to pursue it. The evidence has shown time and again President Biden has committed no wrongdoing, much less an impeachable offense. Chairman Comer's insistence that Hunter Biden's interview happened behind closed doors proves it once again. What Republicans fear most is sunlight and the truth.
I think the moment he said, yes, I'll testify in an open forum, and they said no, that's the end of it. We're done here. I'm done. You don't get another resource to go after anything. If you aren't willing to speak to the main person that you've been trying to get for a year now because he wants to be out in the open, shut it all down. Let's move on to something else. Let's work on something else because this is boring at this point.
Why are they doing this? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can call and or text. Also leave a comment on the live stream. Hunter Biden yesterday, through his attorneys, talks to the House Oversight Committee and says, yes, he will come and testify before the full committee, but he wants to do it in public. And now James Comer, the Republican who leads that committee, says, no, we don't want, not public. What do you mean public?
Back up the train, Hunter.
We want him to come in on December 13th, behind closed doors, no cameras. It'll all be fine. Just trust me.
There's got to be someone in the halls of power on their side saying, you know how dumb this makes you look, right? You look like a bunch of idiots now that you said that out loud. Like,
do you think there is that person?
There has to be. Whether they listen to them or not is another story. But there has to be one person. Maybe it's that Texas congressman who is like, Chip Roy. Maybe he's like, you know, day by day, you make us look stupider by doing things like this.
But they have to believe that this is a winning position for them, or they wouldn't do it. And I haven't heard any good spin from the Republicans on why. Give me a solid reason why this needs to be done behind closed doors first.
Yeah.
And then, because they have said, well, we'll let him, you can testify in the public before the public later. Yeah. But we want to start with behind closed doors. Texter from the 541, is there anything of national security expected to be involved in the conversation with Hunter Biden, someone who probably holds no security clearance? If not, shouldn't law require that the hearing be public? Yes.
Oh, that goes back to your original point. Give us a reason why it needs to be private first.
Yes. Explain this requirement. Yeah. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. It seems that if there was any there, if there were any real evidence, why wouldn't you want it all held in full public view so you can point to the evidence and the persons involved and say, see, we told you all along, Biden is guilty, guilty, guilty. But of course, there isn't any. And who is it, Ron Johnson? Somebody like that even admitted. He said, we're never going to find any hard evidence because there isn't any.
No, there certainly hasn't been anything that they've been able to present so far.
Well, and if they're going to extract any kind of penalty from Hunter Biden, they better start with their own people first. There will be Jim Jordan, what wasn't the only Republican to refuse to come before the Select Committee on January 6th. There were at least three or four of them that, and I can't think of the names, but I'm sure I could look them up on the web.
Sure.
But the point is, if they're going to take any penalties, let's start with those people who years ago, literally, and have seen no consequence whatsoever for their refusal to report before a congressional committee and ignoring a subpoena. So let's start with those guys. And then, if Hunter Biden still says, well, gee, it's got to be in public, you better start looking at that. But right now, no, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just can't understand how they think that this is a good look. And the justification, I'm still waiting to hear for the justification on why he has to testify in private first.
The other representatives were Scott Perry of Pennsylvania and Andy Biggs of Arizona.
And I think I'm right in saying, Jack, that if it were you or me or Greg or Calvin who refused to answer to a subpoena, we would be in jail, wouldn't we?
Jail. So jail.
We'd be rattling the cage doors. Yep. Got it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only reason for holding it in private so that you can, as you pointed out, cherry pick what you're going to tell the public, and so you can spin it in any way you decide. And of course, we know what direction that's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate you giving us a call. On the text line, Roger Frost says, if I were brought before any committee with Gymnasia M. Jordan, I would refuse to answer any questions on the grounds that Jordan refused to answer to his subpoena. Turnabout is fair play. And I don't disagree with you, Roger, but that just isn't how things play now.
No.
You know, it's these rules for me, but not for thee.
Yep. And that really bothers me a great deal. What you said was, I couldn't refuse a subpoena. I'd be thrown in jail.
We would all be in jail.
I mean, why are they not at least being held in contempt? Like anything. There's no repercussions for these actions, and then that just knows that then they know is that all right, I can do it again.
Absolutely.
And again.
Absolutely.
And again.
Yes, without a doubt. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to check in on this, Hunter Biden's lawyers yesterday saying that Hunter Biden is happy to come before this House committee to talk about the alleged corruption of his father and all of that. And now the Republicans say, no, we want you to do it in public.
We never said public, guys.
We never said public.
Wow.
We want you to do it in private first.
We'll even bring you a nice robe.
844-967-2789. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're
Google
listening
Play
to
Store.
The Shaw, WAUK. Live or whenever you want.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. That was a little shout-out to acknowledge Gene Knight, the singer of that classic song, Mr. Big Stuff, from like 1971, just passed away at the age of 81. It's a great song.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
It's a wonderful song.
It is. Okay. And Mama Bri is going to be joining us at 10:33.
Yes.
We're going to do the good, the bad, and babies really need this? Really?
She just sent a text saying she's not feeling so hot, but she's going to be here.
She will be here.
And, you know, but it's going to be exciting times because I haven't seen her.
Oh, yeah. It's been a couple weeks.
It's been since I've seen her face to face a little while since she's been on the show. It's been a few weeks. And we got so much to talk about.
I know, lots to cover. All right, that's coming up at 10:33. So jump on the StreamYard if you can, if you want to see Mama Bri on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about Hunter Biden's attorneys yesterday kind of surprising the House Oversight Committee when she said, sure, Hunter Biden will come and testify before you. He just wants it to be in public. And the head of the committee, James Comer, is like, no. We want to do it in private first.
That's not what we said. We never said that.
No, you have to come December 13th in a closed door session, and then somewhere down the road, you can testify publicly. So why?
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? 844 877-267-2789. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for joining.
Good morning. Nice sunny day. This is just the latest example in the Republican method of doing the public's business. And by that, the analogy I use is the Queen of Hearts from Alice in Wonderland, who would say, first the sentence and then the evidence. These guys are took it a step further. They say, first the sentence and then no evidence. There never will be any evidence.
Right.
This kind of behavior is now bleeding away from the House MAGANs into the Republican Senate. The other day, I think it was yesterday, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who is not related, was grilling, and I mean grilling, an expert on violence in America, and asked her, well, how do you explain the cesspool Chicago's high murder rate, gun murder rate? And she said, well, Senator, Louisiana actually has a higher murder rate than Chicago.
Right.
Which I looked up, and yeah, she's right. Three Republican states in the South have higher murder rates than Chicago, but of course that's irrelevant.
Well, and that doesn't play into their narrative, right, Ron? And what did John Kennedy do? I'm sure he just dismissed her as like, oh, well, there's another expert. Okay.
Well, what he did was, if you were watching on TV, what he did was start shuffling papers and humphrey, he didn't hear it, or he's got more important things to do. Basically, she's unresponsive. She's supposed to step right in the line and say, well, you got me there, Senator. But, it's increasingly easier for Democrats and other people, critics of these Republicans, to catch them flat-footed. Because if you're armed with the facts and you're ready to use them on a moment's notice, and I mean, it's too bad a lot more people in the press don't come to these interviews with these guys with similar data.
Absolutely. I am frequently shocked by how ill-prepared some of our so-called journalists are when they have the opportunity to talk to some of these politicians.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, and the lack of follow-up questions is really irritating.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call, Ron. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. We're talking about Hunter Biden offering to appear in public before the House Select Committee to testify, but they want to do it behind closed doors. Texter from the 608. Check out the comments from Michelle Tafoya on Fox. She basically admits that having Hunter Biden testify in public prevents the GOP from controlling the narrative and therefore is a bad idea. That says it's all about what BS this has always been.
Yeah.
It's theater. It's performative theater.
It's terrible theater, actually, is what it is. It's just like, oh, I thought I was going to go see, like, My Fair Lady. This is My Okay Person.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, obviously, Hunter Biden is going to show. I'm assuming he will show up. I don't know. We got a couple of weeks before December 13th.
If he gets a subpoena, I'm sure he'll be a law-abiding citizen and not break any sort of rules or, be the subject of punishment and penalties. Because he's an American who's just like, yeah, you call me, I'll be here.
Another text on the text line at 844-967-2789. I've long wondered why the legislative branch is conducting these investigations and hearings, which we would normally associate with executive enforcement or judicial branches.
Well,
but this is what the House Oversight Committee does.
That's their job. They make recommendations and they go from there. I mean, I don't know about breaking down the traditions of many, many years, but I mean, I understand the question, but that's the House Oversight Committee. That's their job to investigate these sorts of problems.
Another thing going on in the House today that I do find kind of interesting and I want to mention is George Santos looks like he is becoming increasingly close to getting ousted.
Yeah, I heard a report today saying it might be today.
Today. That's remarkable.
Yeah, and then they played a clip of him and he said, I urge you to remember what this could mean and I will not resign. I'm like,
oh, see, and there's,
oh no.
There's a little veiled threat there, though. Again, he made some allegations about some of his fellow House members and bad behavior and potentially illegal behavior and potential cheating scandals. And if he knows some inside dirt and they do oust him, what's to stop him over the next couple of days from pointing fingers and spilling guts? He's going to burn his bridges. He's never going to get reelected.
I mean, that and also the fact that, remember, Madison Cawthorn did the same thing. He was like, I know things, and he said things, and it didn't really go anywhere. Because I think at the end of the day, one, they're just going to say, well, George Santos is lying. He's a pathological liar.
True.
You can't trust him. And also, at this point, if you say, so-and-so cheated on their spouse, be like, and? Like, I'd come to expect this sort of poor behavior from elected officials in Washington. This is what they do. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But if you try, you got to make that, it's got to be a real juicy scandal. Like maybe traveling to Brazil on the dime of the people for a nothing conference.
Right. To meet up with a woman.
Oh!
Is that wrong?
Allegedly?
There we go. Allegedly. Okay, thank you. All right, stay close. When we come back, Kristen Bry will be here. Join us on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, or you can always call or text in at 844-967-2789. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Who do you think you are, Mr. Pinkstall? You're never gonna get my love.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Good morning, Hayward, if you're listening on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, or in Wausau on WXCO, Bull Falls Radio. Maybe you're watching us on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you are, you can see she's here. Kristen Bry, good morning, my friend. How are you? How you feeling? How's the baby?
Baby is good. Hopefully baby is not sick because I woke up not feeling 100%.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know what the rules become as far as if mom is sick and breastfeeding of like, you just like not breathe on the baby and just keep like a shield between you and your boobs. But yeah, I woke up with her at like 4 a.m. today and I was like, ooh, my throat doesn't feel good and did not go back to sleep.
Oof.
But she did. So she's working off more sleep than me. But yeah, so I don't know if it's just dry in the house, if I have something coming, but she has her 2-month appointment tomorrow. So hopefully we'll nip anything in the bud if she starts to have symptoms of any sorts.
Well, you've been sending me some pictures and it's amazing how quickly she's changing. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, she's much more, at least from the pictures that you've sent me, she's much more alert now. Her eyes are open a whole lot longer. Mm-hmm. And it looks like is she actually focusing on you yet?
She's focusing. She's like hinting. She's like teasing us with a smile. at least a smile that like is actually in reaction to something that you're doing. She's starting-ish to make noises that are not just crying.
Right.
So I feel like our Christmas gift this year will be her like giggling and actually being like a little reaction factory of that everyone's trying to perform for. And but yeah, it's wild to see her we at Thanksgiving, so it was 37 of us all on my dad's side.
37?
So it's my grandma who now has 7 or 8 great grandchildren. But so my grandma, there's 5 kids, their siblings, their spouses, so my aunts and uncles, and then all of my cousins, and then of my cousins, one, two, three, four, five of us now have kids. Three out of the five was, no, six of us have kids. And so my cousins, Brian and Zach, who are brothers, they both had kids this year. So one was born in July. One was born 2 weeks after Frankie.
Oh, wow.
And so we had three babies at Thanksgiving. And it was funny looking at the one who's 2 weeks younger than Frankie. I was like, God, he's so tiny. And then I was like, that's how people are looking at me with her, yeah, holding her. I just think she's bigger because I know how little she was.
Yeah.
She's a cutie.
She's adorable.
And she looks like she's growing into her legs as well.
Well, let's hope so, because if she gets shots tomorrow, she needs some meat on those bones, because they were little chicken legs at first. And let's hope there's some padding there so she doesn't really, really scream her face off. But I am preparing for that.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. You are. All right. We're going to do the good, the bad. And do babies need this? Really? But we're going to start.
The way you say it, you're like, argh.
It's amazing to me. Anyway, we're going to start with the good. Liz Cheney is out with a book. It's called Oath and Honor, and it's being released on December 5th, but CNN got a hold of an early copy and released a bunch of clips yesterday, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheney reveals for the first time that Kevin McCarthy told her just 2 days after Election Day he had talked to Trump, and Trump acknowledged he had lost the 2020 election.
Shocking. All right. I mean,
McCarthy, quote,
is that news at this point? Isn't that also what, during all the testimonies and stuff, other people had said that he had admitted that he lost?
I guess, but you know that, yeah, it's not getting through
to
everyone.
How many book reveals or like book releases has there been that there's new information, yeah, that, you know, this one, we got him this time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's true. Cheney exposes how other Republicans supported Trump's election lies, even though they knew better. During a conference call, Cheney says House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan was dismissive of the legal process for challenging the results and didn't seem to think that the rules mattered. The only thing that matters, Jim Jordan said, is winning.
Also not surprising. Like, that's not, I want to like I want something to be like, Jim Jordan actually voted for Biden. I didn't know that. That's weird. Like,
none of this is a surprise.
Like Kristen said, there are so many people now, Cassidy Hutchinson to be like, you know, all these individuals who have come out and saying, yeah, Trump said all this stuff behind closed doors, and, you know, getting the text messages from the Fox pundits and Kevin McCarthy being really angry at Trump. But then a few days, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a bestseller. I'm sure she's going to be on all the talk shows, but I'm hoping there's like some kind of bombshell item in there that no one else knows.
And that will,
I mean,
cut
it's nothing
through.
Like the Britney book. Poor Justin Timberlake really had a bad week when that book came out.
From what I heard, the rumor was that Justin Timberlake was about to launch a comeback because he had really been around. And when the book came out, they're like, shut it down.
Not going to do that now.
Now let's make Christmas 24. Christmas 24.
Might not be the best time. We're doing the good, the bad, and do babies need this really? We're doing the good now. Liz Cheney is out with a book. CNN leaked some of the details in it yesterday. Cheney talks about how Mike Johnson, new Speaker of the House, pressured Republican members to support an amicus brief to throw out election results from four states where Trump had lost. She says, when I confronted him with the flaws in his legal arguments, Mike Johnson would often concede or say something to the effect of, we just need to do this one last thing for Trump.
This is a heist movie? Like,
but don't you remember? I mean, there was another elected official who basically said, he's going to leave. Let's just let him, you know, take another month to accept the results. And, you know, let's just placate him for
Let's give him one more term. Because, you know, then he'll be gone forever.
Liz Cheney also shares that most Republican members knew it was a farce to sign on to Electoral College objections. Among them, Republican Representative Mark Green. As he signed his name to the piece of paper, Green said out loud to no one in particular, quote, the things we do for the orange Jesus.
See, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear people's like, I want to hear all the little, those little quips and
the snarky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, because didn't Cassidy Hutchinson just have a book come out?
Yeah, she did. About
so it's
the past
like,
few
what
months.
Is, yeah, like in recently. And it's, there's been so many of these tell-all books that have come out that I don't know. And I still commend Liz Cheney for what she did and everything that she stood for. But it's just as far as like, is it going to be a bestseller? Is there anything in here that's really new?
Well, and I think one of the problems with these books is the people who need to read them are not going to read them.
Well, yeah.
These books are being purchased by people who are like us and who want to see, you know, what was going on the inside. And for true supporters, right? I mean, Liz Cheney's a traitor. Adam Kinzinger is a traitor. They're all traitors. Everybody is a traitor, even the people who were in the Trump administration are all traitors. A couple more juicy things from the book. Kevin McCarthy was concerned he had lost his ability to fundraise because right after the January 6th attack at the Capitol, he said this is President Trump's fault.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks later, he flew down to Mar-a-Lago. He said Trump's staff summoned him, and he told Liz Cheney, yeah, the staff is really worried about Trump. He's not eating. So they asked me to come see him.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah,
why would they think Kevin McCarthy's the one who's going to like console him?
I don't know. Is he the one who?
He's the Trump whisperer.
Is he not married? Like, what is Melania doing?
Maybe he's got a nice hand feeding delivery system that no one else has. I don't understand.
Kevin McCarthy knows Trump's omelet station menu order to the T.
And the one last thing I wanted to share from Liz Cheney's new book, when she was invited to join the January 6th commission, and after she was ousted as GOP conference chair, she accepted the invitation from Nancy Pelosi to join the commission. And she said when she went to the first meeting, she couldn't help but shake the feeling like she was a visitor from another planet. And she later found out that Nancy Pelosi's staff compiled a list of the 10 worst things that Liz Cheney had ever said about Nancy Pelosi. And Pelosi took one look at the list, handed it back to her staffer, and said, "Why are you wasting my time with things that don't matter?"
Yeah.
That's a grown-up. That's a grown-up.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't care.
What was on the list?
They don't say. But I'm sure we could find, you know, if you just Google mean things Liz Cheney said about Nancy Pelosi, I'm sure there'd be a lot of stuff coming up.
Nancy Pelosi's always dressing like a spring. She's such a fall.
All right, we're moving on to the bad. Oh, yeah. Republican bills that got a public hearing yesterday would require school and library staffers to tell parents what materials their kids younger than 16 are checking out, not just at school, but from public libraries.
Yeah.
Come on. And on the one hand, it's like, I don't want the government telling me what to do.
Don't tell me how to parent.
Don't tell me how to parent. I know what's best for my kids. I know the best curriculum for my kids. At the same time, no, I want the government to come in and mandate that public libraries inform me of materials that my kid is checking out. When you, as the parent, shouldn't you already be on top of that?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
If they're keeping secrets from you, maybe you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. You make an excellent point.
Last time I checked, when you tell kids not to do something, kind of will push them to do it anyways. And they also said in these hearings, there are mechanisms already in place where parents can walk in and get the history of their children's library ventures. And this is just needless and pointless. And it's going to really hurt small libraries. I mean, it's going to hurt everybody because they're not going to have time. But like small libraries and like Hayward, they don't have the kind of budget that the Milwaukee Public Library System has.
Without a doubt.
So what are we doing right now?
Who proposed this?
Barbara, she's one of the co-sponsors.
From Oconomowoc?
Yeah.
Who actually...
Dietrich?
Yes. Barbara Dietrich. She's one of the co-sponsors.
But she said that this is, you know, this is less restrictive than other people wanted.
And they also had to talk about the fact that they would have to put money into the budget to, because they don't want an unfunded mandate, because there's nothing that Republicans hate worse than an unfunded mandate. But yeah, they'd have to put money into the budget for this to work because they need the technology, the time, and the resources.
Well, and they're going to need more staffers.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think they're going to need considerably more staffers. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It befuddles you?
I am befuddled. I am genuinely befuddled by this. And again, the juxtaposition of parental rights, brr, and government knows best, at least in this instance.
Yeah.
Well, I think it kind of goes hand in hand as far as it's more of Big Brother-ish, because it's the unknown of what's happening at school that is infringing upon parental rights, right? That's, I think that's what the logic is like, you guys are keeping something from me about me having full control over my kid and what they're reading and how they're presenting and how they want to be referred to as. And so if they're this different person at school, you're affecting my ability to parent because they're living this second life. So it's your responsibility to inform me rather than me have a better relationship with my kid.
I think that's kind of backwards.
Not how I'm going to parent.
Right? Well, I can't. You're gonna tell her everything.
Maybe right? Not everything. We'll wait till something's gotta wait until she's like over 18.
That's fine.
Mom, I don't want to know. I just don't know.
Stop sharing with me, mother. Stop sharing with me. Kristen Bry is here. Jump on the StreamYard at Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, and join us when we come back. It's the good, the bad, and do babies need this? Really?
Can't wait for that.
Really? That's on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. She is here. Kristen is with us every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock until she comes back from maternity leave. Greg Bach is with me as well, and Calvin is on the board. You can always call or text in at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. And we're doing the good, the bad, and do babies need this? Really? Oh, you're a new mom, Kristen. I don't know. Maybe you know some people who have bougie babies, because this seems like a real...
Of course they do.
This seems like a real bougie baby thing to me. Dior, formerly known as Christian Dior, is out with a luxury perfume aimed at infants, and it's $230.
This is a bit from Parks and Rec.
It's not. It's not fake. This is real.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to put like any kind of fragrance on your baby. Like anything that is targeted as having fragrance in it, whether it's lotions or body wash and stuff like that. Like I'm pretty sure a baby dermatologist is like, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't. And isn't the whole point of babies is that they smell good naturally?
Yeah.
That was what I thought.
Smell their heads and their heads smell amazing.
If you could smell, like, if you could bottle baby smell.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Sell that for $230.
This is, I'm not kidding. I'm looking at it right now. Tom Haverford on an episode of Parks and Rec. I'm working on a cologne for babies. It's called Baby, You Smell Good.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
It's called Baby Dior Bon Etoile Scented Water with soft notes of pear, wild rose, and white musk. It's also considerably more expensive than any of Dior's adult perfumes.
Well, I know I'm getting the kid for Christmas, I guess. Sure.
No, don't buy her baby perfume. It was created by Dior Perfume's creative director, Francis Kurdigian, and the artistic director, Cordelia de Castellani.
This is just going to start like you're going to have like the fancy bougie one, and then there's going to be some like lumberjack dude coming out with, do you want your baby to smell like the woods? It's just going to start a whole new trend. Like, like, your kid's going to smell like Jack Daniels and Kentucky Redwood. Yeah, baby.
It is alcohol-free, but it's still scented. And I agree with you, Kristen. I would think you would be concerned about their skin. They have such sensitive skin.
Yeah, they have such sensitive skin. Yeah. I'm like very positive you should not be spraying your baby with perfume.
Definitely.
Like, unless you're just not changing their diaper and you're like trying to cover up that smell, that's a whole other set of issues.
Then you just Febreze them. That's problem solved. Yeah,
obviously.
$230. It can be yours, according to their website. It's more than a scented water. It's an object imbued with reverie that can be personalized with the colored ribbon of your choice to accompany your child like their lucky star. Just kill me now.
God.
Okay, you win, Jane. This isn't an old bitter grandma take right here. This is okay.
But I want to know who's actually going to buy it, because obviously they've done some kind of market research to put this on, like to put this out, that they think someone's going to buy it. And like, I would, is it just rich people? But I don't also feel like rich people are like even more hyper vigilant about all baby stuff. But maybe that's like a grand.
Yeah, well,
but overgeneralization, but it's like, I don't know. This is, I just am surprised that there would be a market for this.
I think it's going to be sound real Midwestern of me. It's going to be a coastal thing. And they're going to, I mean, if it's alcohol free and they slap some sort of organic thing on there, parents are going to put, they're going to put this look over their baby. They're going to be like, yeah, we bought the Dior. The baby Dior.
Exactly. I think so, too.
I just don't see that. I really do. I feel like so many wealthy people with their babies, like, they're so obsessed with, like, development and getting into the best schools and being, like, super insane about if they're sick or not and stuff like that and having the best pediatrician-approved thing that I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm sorry, but you know the Kardashians are going to jump all over this.
Trash.
This is so up their alley. So up their alley.
Lynn Bauer sent a message on the live stream that said, it's hard to say. Breastfed babies smell sweet. Formula fed babies smell like cows. All right, Lynn. My gosh.
If the baby perfume is not enough for you, Mama Kristen, this range also features skincare items. Moisturizer for babies is $115 and cleansing foam is $95.
Hey, you know, Frankie Lou, she's got a handshake like a leather man. Wow. Gotta get the moisturizer in her life. Does Dior have any brand new baby dog
perfumes? Oh, for little Maybell?
That makes more sense to me.
A perfume for your dog?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that like it, and you can take the ribbon off and put the ribbon around or put it up here and that kind of thing.
Well, if you want to shell out $230 for doggy Maybell, you certainly can. Get yours now, baby Dior Bon Etoile scented water for $230.
Jane, I can show you my Amazon order history. We're way over that price tag at this point.
Seriously.
Well, we had bought
for dog things.
For dog things, yeah. We bought everything on the list.
He's a little upset, Kristen, because he hasn't been able to take paternity leave.
Ba-dum-ba.
And I'm really upset that I didn't come up with that joke. Like, I'm still, it really puts a, I can't think of it anymore. I'm sorry. I'm very tired.
It was so good to see you, my friend. Let us know how things are going.
Yes.
Shoot me some more pictures of the perfect child, Frankie Lou. And we will see you next Wednesday.
See you next week.
Stay with us. When we come back, we are talking about apprenticeship programs in Wisconsin. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we're on the Civic Media Radio Network.